And hello, radio friends. How in the world are you? You doing all right? Well, of course I wait for you to answer. I like to know how you are. I trust everything's going all right at your house. We want to go on in this discussion of the matter of fruitfulness. Paul the Apostle said to Titus, "Now our crowd needs to remember to maintain good works for necessary uses, and that they be not unfruitful." So you and I got thinking about fruit. And we stopped long enough to say that you still can be fruitful in old age. That's good for lots of us, isn't it? They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Now, I don't know how well you like the word fat, but in the scripture, skinniness and scrawniness is associated with unpleasant and unfruitful conditions in life. And if a person were well-rounded, let us say, that meant that they were living well and doing well. That was the general use of that figure of speech. Of course, in our day when everybody's trying to lose all the weight they can, I suppose that's an unpopular concept, isn't it? But the idea of flourishing, prospering, being fruitful, it's right there for us. And these are people who are planted in the house of the Lord. That is to say, your faith is solid. Your fellowship with your Lord is constant. Your dynamic connection with His almighty power is unspoiled, unsullied by anything that would hinder it. You're going to be fruitful, says Paul. And the psalmist says, right straight through the end of your life, you can be fruitful. Now I'm talking to someone, I'm sure, who's been discouraged with the passing of the years. The kids don't write or even phone anymore. And the world seems to be passing you by. And you sort of heave a sigh and say, well, I guess that's how it is. Put the old man out to pasture and forget him. No, it doesn't have to be that way. Spend some time speaking with your Lord and listening to Him as the faithful indwelling Holy Spirit whispers to your heart some things that you could do to be fruitful, to be a blessing, in other words. You know, when I go off the air, I say, walk with the King and be a blessing. Well, fruitfulness actually is the process of blessing others, isn't it? And of demonstrating in your own life the qualities of God's own nature, the fruit of the Spirit. So if I'm talking to somebody who's discouraged because the years are going by and the world seems to be passing you by and even the members of your own family have forgotten you, they're too busy, well, you don't have to either be hurt or bitter about it, beloved. Did you hear me? You don't have to be either hurt or bitter about it. You can go right straight on and bless people all around you and have the joy of the Lord in your heart and the shine of God on your life. Oh, that's great. Planted in the house of the Lord. That is to say, your relationship with Him is firm, your fellowship with Him is constant, and your contact with His power is unhindered by anything that would get between Him and you. Fruitfulness, even in old age. Well, there's a lot of people talking about... You have to give up. You have to slow down. I hear that once in a while. People say to me, Cook, you ought to slow down. Hey, I'm a fireman, not a brakeman. Let somebody else put on the brakes. I keep going for the Lord. I pray every day that God will make every year better than the ones before. As long as I'm drawing breath, I just want to serve Him and be fruitful. Don't you? I know you do. Now, we mentioned a moment ago, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit, the result of the Holy Spirit of God working in your life, is to produce these qualities which are a reduplication of the very nature of your Lord. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, says Paul, there's no law. Fruitfulness involves the control of the Holy Spirit of God. Our Lord Jesus said that fruitfulness involves abiding in him. Do you remember that passage in John 15? Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Now, what's the process? Every branch in me that beareth fruit, he prunes it. John 15:2. That it may bring forth more fruit. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. So you have some fruit, more fruit, much fruit. That's the progress of thought there in John 15, the opening verses. And abiding produces not only fruitfulness, but also power in prayer. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Once you establish through the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God that you're praying on the revealed will of God as we find it in God's word and as the Holy Spirit witnesses it to your heart, once you have established that you are indeed praying on the will of God, you can ask in Jesus' name and know that you're going to get your request. I have had, just as you have, I've had many so-called unanswered prayers. But there has never been a time, as I recollect my life, there has never been a time when I was certain, after having searched the Scriptures and having had the truth of God's written word witnessed in my own heart by the Holy Spirit, so I knew that I was praying according to the will of God, and that blessed witness is unmistakable. There's no if clause in it. You know you're in God's will. Every time I've had that experience, beloved, just as many of you, the prayer has been gloriously answered. See, God doesn't play games. And when you're praying according to his will, and the Spirit of God is helping you, because Paul says, likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, because we know not what we should pray, what that is, we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And there is a wordless language of the soul, even though it may come out just as a groan. So far as you and I are audibly concerned, the Holy Spirit of God is moving toward the throne of grace on your behalf, so that the will of God will be done in your life. Oh, thank God for his mercy and his love and his grace in dealing with us poor human beings. Can't you say amen to that? Well, our Lord Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Your fruit. The fruit of a grain of corn is a stalk of corn, and the fruit of an acorn is an oak tree, and the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. Our Lord Jesus Christ seeks to extend his presence into other lives as you and I witness for him and share our faith with others and introduce other people to him. Your fruit will remain. And then the other purpose. He said, "I have ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit." That's one. That your fruit should remain. That's two. And three, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you. Well now, fruit bearing is not an option. Fruitfulness, as a result of the Holy Spirit of God working in your life, the fruit of the Spirit, is not an option. Paul says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." It's a command. And the fruitfulness that Jesus spoke of when he said to the disciples, "Your fruit," is not an option. It's not something you can say, "Well, I'll do when I get around to it." This is something our Lord Jesus said, "I command you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain." It's something that has a spiritual and eternal connotation to it, that it doesn't just wear away, and that you get your prayers answered. That's what he said. Fruitfulness. Do you know anything about that in your life? Oh, you say, "I've tried so often." Well, let me say something to you. Fruitfulness in each case is a byproduct of a relationship. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit that comes through abiding in Christ, a result of abiding in him and of obeying him. First he said, "Abide in me," and then he said that ye should go and bring forth fruit. So there's the waiting before God, and then there's the going forth into the battlefield, so to speak, as his representative. A good illustration of that is found in the Old Testament in the story of the prophet. Let me turn back to turning the pages here, my big Bible. You can always hear me turning the pages, can't you? The story of Elijah the prophet. The word of the Lord came to Elijah and gave him a command. Let me see if I can find that. 1 Kings 17 is the passage. The word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. It shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did, according to the work of the Lord. He went and dwelt by the brook Cherith. The ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. He drank of the brook. Hide thyself. Well, the brook dried up, and the word of the Lord said, "Get to Zarephath, down by Zidon, and dwell there. I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." A most unlikely situation, because there was no welfare in those days, and if a person were widowed, she had very little choice. If she didn't have grown children who would sustain her, she had very little choice if she wanted to stay moral, that was, but to starve to death. This was in the case of the lady that Elijah met. He went to Zarephath, and he found a woman gathering sticks. He said, "Give me a little water to drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he said, "Bring a morsel of bread, would you?" And she said, "I haven't a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse, and I'm gathering two sticks that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. We're going to starve to death." Well, you know the rest of the story. God took care not only of the widow and her son, but of his prophet. Now, after the years had passed, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year of this drought, and he said, "Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth." So first it was in 1 Kings 17, go hide yourself, and in 1 Kings 18, go show yourself. You have to get into the presence of God and be quiet before him, before you can go out into the battlefield and represent him. You know that. Fruitfulness, beloved, is a byproduct of being in the presence of your blessed Lord and then obeying him step by step. Dear Father, today, oh, may we spend enough time in thy presence to be fruitful as we obey thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Till I meet you once again by way of radio, walk with the King today and be a blessing.
You've just heard Walk with the King, the ministry of Dr. Robert A. Cook. This program is listener-supported. For more information or to find out how you can help to continue this ministry, write to us at Walk with the King, P.O. Box 43, Trumbull, Connecticut, 06611. Or visit us on the web at walkwiththeking.org. Thank you for your support of this ministry. This has been broadcast number 6484. Thank you for listening to Walk with the King.